How can the complexities of medical documentation and coding be simplified? Can healthcare providers and professional medical coders maintain efficiency in an environment of ever-increasing complexity? This is Unraveling Medical Coding. You'll learn how to improve documentation, code intelligently, and minimize audit risk. Here are our hosts and certified general surgery coders, Neil and Piyusha.
How do physicians get paid for services delivered? Prior models of payment include fee-for-service, customary, prevailing, and reasonable, aka CPR charge system by CMS, and the usual, customary, and reasonable UCR system by private carriers. The current payment model utilizes relative value units, RVUs, as part of the resource-based relative value scale, RBRVS. Dad, can you tell us the difference between the customary, prevailing, and reasonable model and the RVU model?
Of course, Neil. For the most part in this podcast, we will be talking about CMS. The customary, prevailing, and reasonable model set the customary charge for a service at the median for all same specialty physician charges submitted for that service. This led to significant differences in payments to physicians. Physicians in different regions charge different amounts so that the customary charge, prevailing charge, or reasonable charge varied from region to region. Also, this model of payment was vulnerable to overpricing by physicians, among other drawbacks. In 1992, the RBRVS model with relative value units was instituted. RVUs are attached to services and procedures.
So what's the importance of RVUs?
Relative value units give us a way to value services and procedures in a more consistent manner. The RVU is subdivided into work RVU, practice expense RVU, and malpractice RVU. The physical effort, mental effort and judgment, technical skills, and stress related to patient risk are all factored into the work RVU. Cost of clinical and administrative staff, office supplies, cost of building space and utilities, medical and office equipment, and medical supplies are factored into the practice expense RVU. The cost of malpractice liability insurance is factored into the malpractice RVU. In my opinion, the RVU scale is at best okay. After writing my book, Coding Solutions General Surgery, I began to see patterns where procedures seemed to me not to truly reflect common sense valuation. For example, a laparoscopic gallbladder removal has 19.76 total RVUs, and an excision of a 5.5 centimeter, roughly 2.5 inch diameter subfascial lipoma of the chest has 21.75 total RVUs. As a general surgeon who performs both these types of procedures, I can assure you that the laparoscopic gallbladder removal is far more complex and carries a higher complication profile than a chest lipoma excision. My take on this is that either laparoscopic gallbladder removal is undervalued or that lipoma excisions are overvalued. Now, that's a can of worms I don't want to open.
I see what you mean about how it doesn't really make any sense. So how are physicians compensated by CMS, and how do the RVUs get translated into dollars and cents?
To answer that, we need to understand that there are differences between geographic regions in cost to deliver services. This is taken into account by applying a geographic practice cost index value to each of the RVU subcomponents. Then, this is translated into dollars using the Medicare Physician Fee Schedule conversion factor. Have I confused you yet?
Yes.
Well, let me try to simplify this by using an analogy. Let's say you go to a grocery store in New York City to buy an apple. Think about how that apple got there. The farmer has to spend time and effort to cultivate the apples. This is the work RVU. The farmer also has to pay real estate taxes on his farm, buy seed, plant it, water and fertilize it, harvest the apples and transport them. This is a practice expense RVU. Along the way, we know some of the apples will turn rotten or the entire crop can fail due to unforeseen circumstances, and the farmer has to have crop insurance. This is malpractice RVU. We know that apples cost more in big cities versus at a local grocer. This is a geographic practice cost index. Finally, depending on supply and demand issues, the seller determines a conversion factor that translates all these costs into dollars.
Hey, that's much easier to understand.
Let me go one step further. Think of RVUs as healthcare currency tokens. When you provide a service, you get a certain number of tokens. The number of tokens you get for a service may vary between different geographic regions. In New York, you may get 30 tokens to remove a gallbladder, whereas in Arizona, you might only get 25 tokens. This variation is a geographic practice cost index. Finally, a currency exchange rate converts these tokens into dollars. This exchange rate is the conversion factor. If the currency exchange rate is $50 per token, then in New York, you will get $1,500, whereas in Arizona, you will get $1,250. To make things even a little more complex, there is a geographic practice cost index for each of the RVU subcomponents: work, practice expense, and malpractice. CMS determines a geographic practice cost index for work using regional variation of physician wage data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. The practice expense geographic practice cost index is based on data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics regarding employee wages and cost of contracted services typically purchased by physicians, the Census Bureau regarding office rent, and a base amount relating to practice expenses associated with capital goods ranging from chemicals and rubber to telephone and postage. Finally, the malpractice geographic practice cost index is based on regional variation in medical malpractice premiums. Let's put all this together. I made a spreadsheet with relative value units and geographical practice cost index values. I then cross-referenced these, and here are real-life examples of what I found. A laparoscopic gallbladder removal, CPT code 47562, has a total of 19.76 RVUs assigned to it. The work RVU portion is 10.47, practice expense portion is 6.68, and the malpractice portion is 2.61. The 2022 conversion factor is $34.6062. So you would expect 19.76 RVUs to convert to $683.82. However, when you factor in the geographic practice cost indexes, a significant variation becomes apparent. The highest payment is in Queens, New York at $906.84, and the lowest payment is in Nebraska at $593.45. Imagine if new physicians had this information on hand when they are deciding on where to set up a practice. Here's another example. A colonoscopy, CPT code 45378, has a total of 5.40 RVUs when performed in a facility. This would translate to $186.87 using the 2022 conversion factor. But when you factor in geographic practice cost indexes, the highest payment is in Alaska at $245.04, and the lowest payment is in Arkansas at $170.25. As you can see, the highest and lowest paying localities are not always the same. In these examples, when I drilled down in my spreadsheet to see why the huge variation in payments, I saw that mostly it was related to practice expense and malpractice. Unfortunately, you can't do much with regional variations in practice expense. But malpractice premiums are an area where there can be cost savings. New York has malpractice geographic practice cost index between 200 and 270% of the base amount, whereas Nebraska has only 24% of the base amount. In contrast, the regional practice expense variation is between 138% and 84%. Theoretically, if all localities had tort reform and are able to rein in malpractice premiums, CMS could see millions of dollars in cost savings per year. Our healthcare system costs are skyrocketing, but wouldn't this be a great first step in cost containment? Now, I know that's a lot of numbers I'm throwing at you, and if you're listening to this podcast in your car, it may be difficult to follow. You can find a transcript to this podcast at unravelingmedicalcoding.com. That will make it easier to follow the number trail. For now, all I'm trying to get across to you is that the payment model is complex, and there is substantial variation in payments between localities.
So who determines the RVU's geographic practice cost index and the conversion factor?
You want to take a guess?
CMS?
Yep, mostly. RVUs are determined by CMS with assistance from the AMA's Specialty Society Relative Value Scale Update Committee and are reviewed annually. Geographic practice cost indices are set by CMS and are updated every 3 years. A conversion factor is proposed by CMS annually and must comply with budget neutrality. And in recent years, CMS has proposed drastic cuts that would have a significant negative impact on physician practices. Congress has had to postpone or minimize these cuts at the 11th hour for the past few years.
I'm beginning to understand the process now, but you're right, it is complex. So why should physicians and coders take the time and effort to understand all of this?
There are three very important reasons to care. First, it behooves everyone who is paid this way to understand the process. Many physician employment contracts compensate physicians based on work RVUs generated. If your employer is not calculating your work RVUs accurately, your compensation would be lower. As an example, we talked about shared split services on previous podcast episodes. As a reminder, this is when an advanced practice provider and a physician both see a patient. If the work RVUs are assigned incorrectly to the APP, who is usually a salaried employee, then the physician will get paid less and the APP will not see any change in their salary. Essentially, the employer pockets this revenue entirely when in reality, a portion of it should be paid out to the physician for services delivered. Second, RVUs are determined by CMS with input from the American Medical Association and revised annually. When I discussed laparoscopic gallbladder removal in comparison to a chest wall lipoma excision, the RVU scale does not seem to be balanced, and some procedures are either valued less or more than what common sense would dictate. And third, coders have the knowledge and expertise to sift through documentation to identify missed sources of additional revenue and can help add to the tally of RVUs you generate, making your bottom line healthier. Remember what Thomas Hobbes said in 1668, scientia potentia est, knowledge is power.
Well, that quote certainly fits nicely here. But Dad, doesn't CMS and the AMA recognize these issues?
Maybe and maybe not. When I said that CMS and the AMA revise RVUs annually, I really meant to say that they target certain specialty procedures one year and another specialty's procedures on another year. With this piecemeal annual revision process, the RVU valuations have become lopsided. It would take a major overhaul to re-level all procedures at once. Remember, a lot goes into re-leveling the valuation of a procedure. First, you need lots of data. Then, you have to factor in things like newer technologies that make surgery easier and more efficient.
That would indeed be a momentous undertaking. Well, we've covered a lot of ground, and it was a great discussion today.
Before we leave, I'd like to talk about one more thing.
What's that?
The book, of course. So, dear listener, you should know that before this podcast even existed, my dad put together a book distilling all of his years of coding knowledge into one easy-to-use resource. It's called Coding Solutions General Surgery, and it is the, and I mean the, resource on general surgery coding. Now available in a brand new 2022 edition, I can personally attest to how easy it makes some of the trickiest coding situations. Heck, it even helped me pass my general surgery coding certification exam. Why don't you tell us a little more about the book?
Sure. I wrote this book out of frustration. Frustration that there are too many costly, difficult to use, and hard to find resources for rules relating to medical documentation and coding, but nothing truly specialized for general surgery. If I needed a diagnosis code, I had to track down an ICD codebook. If I needed a procedural or evaluation and management code, I had to find a CPT codebook. And let's not forget the 1995 and 1997 documentation guidelines, the 2021 Office and Outpatient Documentation and Billing Guidelines, the Federal Register, and annual final rule changes from CMS. I also needed access to relative value units since I'm paid by my employer based on work RVUs for services I provide. There was no single resource for all of this information, so I decided to make one. Coding Solutions General Surgery is a book that is less than 150 pages long, so it is very portable. It contains ICD and CPT codes used in general surgery collated by organ systems. Examples of chapters include appendix, breast, gallbladder, GI, thyroid, trauma, and skin and soft tissue. If you need the diagnosis and procedural codes for a gallbladder procedure, simply go to the gallbladder chapter. I'm serious when I say that 99% of the codes I use for my general surgery, GI endoscopy, surgical oncology, trauma, and wound care practice is in the book. On top of that, you've probably realized that medical documentation is very complicated, and I have comprehensive sections on office and hospital service documentation, including critical care and shared split services, to name a few. I'm very passionate about accuracy and efficiency in medical documentation and coding, and I've put that passion into this book. I update the book annually with changes in documentation rules, ICD codes, CPT codes, and work RVUs. If you are a general surgeon or NPP or a coder for a general surgery practice, this is a must reference. And to boot, it is much cheaper than buying all the other resources.
For those of you interested in buying the book, it's available on Amazon.com. You can find a link to it both on our website, unravelingmedicalcoding.com, and in the show notes of this episode. For those of you who listen to this episode and wish that you could tap into an excellent general surgery coding resource, well, now you can. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Please check out the other episodes. Don't forget to rate and review us and subscribe to Unraveling Medical Coding from wherever you get your podcasts. Also, please share this podcast with friends or colleagues who you feel would benefit from learning about medical coding and documentation. Stay safe and stay healthy.